Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is singer, songwriter, author, and podcaster, Mist. Born in China and abandoned at a young age, Mist didn't begin writing songs until her 30s. Since then, she's amassed a global audience for her music, created the podcast Make Me Smile with Mist, and in 2026, launched the Love Project Initiative, which focuses on connection and empathy. We discussed all of that and much more for this episode of Into Music with Mist, coming up now. I found this fascinating. I'm reading about you that you kind of started music late, so to speak. So what happened that you were in your 30s and you started, that's when music kind of really hit for you?
Actually, I've always loved singing. So if you read some of the things I've experienced, I was diagnosed with terminal cancer at 28. So around that time, I lost my job. I was just going through all the tests and seeing doctors. I had a lot of time, so I picked up ukulele and learned just a few simple chords so I can sing along. But that just stayed there until later in COVID. I tried to do the same thing, to try to learn how to play a few simple piano chords. But at that time, I was married, and my husband caught me doing that, and he said, "From what I heard, you have the ability to write your own songs and play by ear. So why don't you try to see what your gift can do and see where it takes you before you let somebody else limit how you use your gift?" He had a good point, but that idea of trying to do something without learning it properly was frightening to me. So I argued with him for 6 months. He just wouldn't leave me alone every time I tried to watch those YouTube videos. Finally, I said, "Okay, today I'm going to sit down at the piano." He plays. He taught himself how to play. So he has a piano. I sat down at his piano and I said, "I'll give it a very honest try. And if I can't do it, then the argument is settled. I just can't do it." Yet before I realized, I already wrote 3 songs.
How did that feel then to all of a sudden it's like, I could have done this? You know?
Yeah. Great question. It felt like a door was opened to me, but it's not just any door. It's a door that I have been waiting for my whole life. Because before I found this way to use music to express my feelings, I couldn't express any feelings to anybody because I was abandoned as a child. So I felt the people I trusted the most, the people who should love me the most and stay with me forever, just betrayed me. So I couldn't trust anybody with my feelings. So I had good friends, but I felt because I didn't show them who I truly was, so we were never truly connected. I could only connect to them on the surface, what I can show them. But with music, it's the first time I feel so safe to express even the deepest feelings, the feelings that I feel could be dark, could be anything for a reason that I couldn't show anybody else. I could easily express it through music. And through music, I'm willing to, once I wrote it down into the songs, I'm willing to show it to others. And from the songs, other people can know the real me. So it was a therapy.
You know, people do this all the time. They might write songs in private and whatever. And that's probably where you kind of started. But then at some point you start recording and releasing music. How did you make that transition?
I have to thank my husband for that again. He not only saw my gift, he also understands that as an artist, we don't want to stop at the point we just put it down in songs, even though a lot of people didn't show it to others. But deep down, we have that desire to connect with more people through our music. So every time we go somewhere, he would talk to people about my new songwriting journey. And if we ran into some musicians, we would share music with each other. And it's through one of those musicians, he forwarded my music to a friend of his. And that friend works for the great producer, Nara Michael Walden. And Nara called me and asked me to go to his studios to meet. I only had some simple demos. That's all I had, but Nara heard something in them.
Were you nervous or anything at that point, or did you just sort of say, "Well, if he says I'm good, I must be good on some level"?
I really love your questions. Yeah, you're right. I can't remember exactly how nervous I was, but I'm sure I was, but I think I was more excited. I grew up in China, so I don't know a lot about the US music, the whole Western music industry. So at that time, I didn't realize what kind of producer Nara is. I know he's huge, and the artists he worked with are huge stars, but I didn't have the most clear idea about that. But I was very excited because I haven't really worked with almost any producer yet. I just went. I didn't know what's going to happen because he said, "Let's meet." But the moment I went there, he put me at the piano and the microphone that Aretha Franklin recorded Respect on and said, "Sing me something." I only had unfinished songs, and remember, my piano ability is limited to just a few chords. So I just played like that and sang him a song, "It's Too Late to Love You." It's a duet I wrote. And he said, "Sing me another one. Then sing me another one. Sing me another one." And we just went like that. And he started hearing something. He said, "Oh, with this song, we can do this." Then he came to the piano and started playing. And then he said, "Oh, with this song, we can do something else." Then he ran to the drum and started playing on the drum. So before we realized, again, it's been 3 hours. And he had to go pick up his kids. But he said, "Miss, before I go, I just want to tell you, I want to make an album for you." And that was it.
So how long between that moment and when you started writing, how long had gone by?
It's about a year since I started writing. Well, if my husband didn't keep talking to everybody, it would have taken a lot longer.
To go from being abandoned, you move all the way across the world, you survive cancer. I don't know, if it were me, I would probably go, "You know, I think I kind of deserve this."
True. It's sad to see these days, the time is so difficult. A lot of people experience one obstacle after another. It's heartbroken to see them giving up. I kept thinking about, why didn't I give up? I should have, many times. I feel there are a few things, probably one of them should be, I don't remember exactly, but I'm sure when I was abandoned, there were moments of little kindness that just showed me there is hope. I could hold on to it for a little longer. There must be other way, many tiny moments of kindness that's shown to this girl who's left alone. Because there's nothing I could give them, but they chose to show me the kindness. So that's true kindness. I think that's one thing. Another one, I think it has to be music. I've always loved singing. In music, I never felt truly alone, even though never truly lonely. I was alone, but I was not lonely because I was taken on different journeys through different songs with different artists. That got me through that. And I hope some people can be inspired by that and find their way through.
So you mentioned these, you know, these small acts of kindness, and this became kind of the main idea behind this podcast. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah. Since I started writing songs, I told you they are therapy for myself. Then when I started showing others, a lot of times people started crying when they heard my songs. Then I realized, whoa, this is not just healing for me. It's healing for them. And every song, there is a story behind it. There is a message I want to say. But the song is only a few minutes, and the lyrics are usually poetic and simplified. So in a song, I couldn't really explain everything, my thoughts on this, how we can apply this to life so we can, like I did, survive different difficult situations. So because we invited the Pantheon podcast company, one of their CEO, to come to one of my San Francisco shows. And after the show, he said, "Mist, whenever you have a podcast idea, just pitch to us. We will do it with you." Then when I started thinking about this concept of using a longer format of some kind of show to explain the songs and the ideas behind them a little better in depth, then we're like, that's a podcast. So we approached them and they loved the idea and sponsored 48 episodes of the podcast. Basically, each episode is based on one idea, one concept of something we do that caused us to have to stop connecting with each other and explore how we got there and what we can do to help us get back to where we started so we can be connected again. From generosity to smiling to human touch, what they do to us and our relationships, to resentment, regret. We talk about everything. And in each episode, there is an original song that I wrote on this theme. Also, there is a 15-second call to action of the tiny baby step that we can take to help us get back to our connections. So that was it. That's called Make Me Smile with Mist. And it's been on the mental health chart of top 10 for quite some time. I'm very grateful that it connected with people. And I hope through these simple actions, people are living better lives, changing their world, and eventually maybe we can make some changes in the whole world.
I just, you know, as you're saying this, I'm thinking about, I tend to be a little bit quiet, you know, despite doing this. But I found that if I just engage with somebody, whether it's like at the, you know, the gas station or the grocery store or my neighbor when they're outside with their dog, and I just say hello or I make some comment, just that connection is, it lifts me.
Absolutely. The first thing we encourage people to do is just smile. Maybe after you exchange a smile, you start adding a hi. Then it goes to how are you? Then you started a conversation. There is, if you've read about the compound effect, like how we save a penny each day. Same concept, same numbers. If I smiles at you today, and you and I, we each smiles at one more person tomorrow, in about 33 days, the whole world would have smiled. Sometimes we think it's such a simple action, it won't do anything, but that's not true.
Well, and we become, I think, more interesting to other people the happier we are, right? People see us and they go, well, that person's happy. What's going on? I want some of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. You've touched upon some of the topics that we go in depth with. Like earlier you mentioned communication. We're talking about what's the best way to communicate. We see some people communicate better than others. What's the difference? Then we boil it down, down, down. And we found out there are things you just mentioned. Just the genuine curiosity. And listen, when we're curious, we will ask them questions about them. Not just, how's the weather? How are you? Instead, it's, how are you really? Then we just listen. Yeah. Listening is spending our time with others. That's the most valuable thing we can give to others.
Now, you've turned this into a book, and I love the idea that you're giving us actions to walk away with. It's one thing to read a book and have some lessons or something, but when it's actionable, that makes the biggest difference.
Yeah. So this book is mainly based on the Make Me Smile podcast, because when we were learning about these things, me and my husband, we did a lot of research on what scientists did to show us some insight about these topics. So these are good informations. It's nice to listen to it through a podcast, but if anybody would like to keep the information and to go deeper on those studies and experiments, they could through the book. It's always there whenever you want to refer to it. It's helpful there. Yeah. Also, yeah, you mentioned the small actions and lessons. So in this is mostly a journey of me looking for answers. I'm not an expert of anything. I was not trained for music, or I didn't study neuroscience. I'm just a person like everybody else looking for answers. And every little simple action, the 15-second actions, me and my family tried first. We go out and try it on our neighbors. And since I started the podcast, it has transformed our life. And it's been just wonderful. I was telling my husband, the goal for this podcast was to just even help one person to live a happier life. And I think I've already reached a goal, because I am a happier person. My family is happier. Also, on this journey, 48 episode is a year. Through this year, I found more and more inner peace, and I was able to, just about a little over a month ago, I was able to reconnect with my dad, who abandoned me over 30 years ago. It's the first time I feel, when I think about his name, when I think about saying even just hi to him, I don't want to cry anymore. Is this podcast helped me really went inside my heart and found who I really am. So now I could talk to him, and we started a new relationship.
That's amazing, because there are some people who would just say, well, that was it, and I can't forgive that. I don't want to know. But then even to just find him after all this time, yeah, there had to be tremendous work behind that.
Yeah, I think the biggest work is in the heart. That's the hardest thing to get over with. We've always had each other's contact, but we are both afraid of talking to each other. He's afraid of me digging into his past mistakes. I just feel too emotional to even talk to him. I miss him like crazy, and that I blamed myself for thinking about him, for loving him. That's all just messed up. And when I could let it go, is a huge relief for myself. Then I realized for this whole time, no matter what kind of negative feeling I had towards him, it was only torturing me.
So when you reconnected, did you find like that you had similarities, things that you didn't expect? And
well, you're the first person asking that. That was my biggest surprise, because in my head, I had to picture him as a villain. Even though I still love him, I was very confused. But when I started talking to him again, I find we're so similar. It's scary. We would make the same decision on the same thing, even though we haven't talked to each other forever. Yeah, I think that's why I resented him for so long, because before he left, he was my main caretaker. I took on a lot of qualities from him, and I loved him to death. That's why the betrayal felt so unbearable. But now I could use it in a different way. I'm so grateful for that.
I'm happy for you that you get to, you know, have that. That's wonderful. Yeah. Now, speaking of kindness and so forth, you've done this thing where you've brought fans with you to the Grammys?
Yeah. So I have been a Recording Academy voting member, which about, I don't know how many, maybe 20,000 of us in the world, each year we vote for each category after carefully listening to all of them and comparing. But we also have the privilege of being invited to the Grammys with our guests. So I used my two guest tickets to invite some fans to come to the Grammys with me. The way I invite them is I ask them to share their stories with me, what going to the Grammys means to them. And I pick out the stories that touch me the most. The hard part is there's always like 10 best stories each year, and I had to choose two because I only have two tickets. I had to choose only two, but it's been amazing. Last year, we had two young musicians who were pursuing their dreams, and one of them this year became a Grammy U member, and she wrote me that she could never imagine how much when going to the Grammy with me could have affected her. And the other boy that I invited to the Grammy last year, he was born with his hands and feet attached to the arms and legs at a abnormal angle. But he learned how to play the piano with that condition. And he plays very well, and he writes his own music. I was just so touched by that story. So they went to the Grammy with me last year. And this year, a young boy, he almost gave up his acting and music career this year because his grandma in Hong Kong was dying. So he flew back and forth many times, and he wrote music for her on his plane ride. And he was able to sing the songs to her before she passed away. And there were so many beautiful stories like that. I was so privileged to read all these beautiful stories. And we'll try to invite two fans to the Grammys with me every year if I could.
You've been listening to a conversation with Mist. You can learn more about all of her latest activities at mistthesinger.com. That's M-I-I-S-T, thesinger.com. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. Send us your questions and comments at info@kmuw.org. And find all the latest programming notes on that website as well. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time. And as always, we'd like to remind you that our theme music is composed and performed by Torin Anderson.